So here we go with the first question. I will read the question, and then I will read the order of the candidates to respond. The city of Long Beach includes a port, airport, health department, utilities, and nearly 500,000 people. What experiences, as an attorney and otherwise, have groomed you to handle the legal needs of Long Beach? And that will be Charlie, James, and then Matt.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for being here this evening. My experience includes 29 years with the City of Long Beach. The first 11 years I worked in the Department of Oil Properties as a petroleum engineering associate. While working for the city, I went to law school at night and transferred into the city attorney's office in 1995. I started there in the litigation section, trying cases on behalf of the city and working on Tidelands issues, and that involves our Port of Long Beach. I then transferred over into our transactional section, where I represented the city and supervised the attorneys in that section, and was a departmental counsel for the Long Beach Water Department for the last 6 years. So I have a vast array. I was then promoted to assistant city attorney, and then in July I was appointed acting city attorney, and then in August appointed the city attorney for the remainder of my boss's term. So I've had a wide array of experience doing and handling with the Port of Long Beach, with the airport. We have a slot-controlled airport. We're one of five or six in the state, in the United States, with a slot-controlled airport. We have a very important noise ordinance with that airport that we need to protect and defend to maintain our status as that airport. And the water department, I was there during the time when we had our last drought, so I prepared the prohibited uses of water, the rules and regulations for the lawn to garden program. So I've been and had good experience with the water department, had the fortune of working with the water commission, and so I think I have the necessary experience of managing the department, leading the department, and handling the various issues that come before us each and every day to make this city a little bit better. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, I grew up here, and after law school, I came back and started working at the largest law firm in California, Morrison & Forster, where I worked in complex civil litigation. I worked a lot of cases, employment cases, and Long Beach is a major employer. It's important that we treat all our employees fairly. There's not sexual harassment discrimination, there's not gender discrimination, etc. I worked on many contract matters, making sure that when there's a breach, people paid for that. Obviously, it's a large government entity. Long Beach has plenty of contracts. That's another big issue there. So that's what I did at Morrison & Forster. Also worked on some insurance matters, et cetera. Then I got a call one day, and someone said, hey, how do you like to come to Long Beach and rewrite the city constitution, the city charter? That's the highest law in the city of Long Beach, obviously, except for state and federal laws. And that was a great experience because I got to go page by page and read how our city's structured, our Department of Gas and Oil Properties. How do we have the water department? How is the port structured, given the fact that the city maintains those lands as a trustee for the state of California? I helped revise the city charter structurally for the first time in 20 years. Like I said, that was a great experience, a great exercise in how our city is governed, all our departments of the city. After that, I was hired as one of the city's youngest executives as assistant city auditor, working under Laura Dowd. I oversaw the city contracts to make sure that people weren't ripping the city off. I oversaw the city revenues to make sure that people, large corporations, et cetera, were paying their fair share, because those dollars are needed for your police services, your fire services, et cetera. And finally, I'm the only candidate here with any elected experience. I've been city council member for 4 years. Worked with the port, figuring out how can we grow that port, grow it green. Worked on the Clean Trucks program, both as assistant city auditor and city council member. So I think I've got a great experience in terms of being a leader, a proven leader, as well as a legal background.
Thank you, James. Matt?
Thank you. Does this work? I think it does. Thanks for having me as well. I will start out by saying that I come from a family of lawyers who have been in this state involved in handling major insurance coverage issues, and as I grew up, I was trained by and learned from them, went to law school, and while in law school, I had the opportunity, was invited to extern for Federal Judge Terry Hatter Jr. in Los Angeles, and in doing that work for the federal court, was able to be involved in and write important materials for the judge, recommend actions on different cases and cases that involve all sorts of areas of the law. After working for Judge Hatter, I went into private practice and have handled numerous cases dealing from issues of torts and auto accidents all the way to civil rights, issues involving the rights of individuals who have been harmed by government or attacked by government in ways that are inappropriate. And that takes me to the last number of years where I have been engaged in civil rights litigation involving this city, involving the city of Long Beach, and involving decisions made by the city attorney's office and by the city council that have been ineffective and cost the city a lot of money. Become very familiar with the city's municipal code and its charter in doing this, and have the experience necessary to run and operate a city's legal department that needs to provide proper advice to its city council and the proper services to its citizens.
Thank you, Matt. Our next question is, what do you feel are the two most important issues facing the city attorney's office, and how do you plan to address those if elected? And the order is James, Matt, and Charlie.
Well, there are a lot of issues, but number one is going to have to be citywide finances. You know, when I came into city, came into office as city council member, even before, I've been now with the city for 8 years as you know, working on the charter and city auditor, now council member, I asked the basic question, where'd the money go? Every year we pay taxes just like we always have, but now we get 20% fewer police officers. We've eliminated parks and recreation programs, eliminated after school programs. Why is that? The answer is a lot of bad financial decisions, most namely the pension spike in 2002 that gave away $202 million for nothing in return. That's a problem, hundreds of millions in the future. That's a legal contract. So my number one priority is going to be overseeing the city's contracts, particularly employment contracts. That's where the money goes. 90% of the money goes into these contracts, wages and benefits, and while we deserve to treat employees fairly, we need to make sure that it's a fair deal for taxpayers as well. So I'm going to be overseeing the money to make sure you're getting the services you need, particularly public safety services. The second priority, I think, is the office itself. I think the city attorney's office has outsourced quite a bit of work in recent years, $4 million of work last year. That's work, you know, $1 million here to one law firm, hundreds of thousands of other law firms. I want to ask questions such as, can we do that work cheaper? You know, if I can hire some people in that office and reduce that cost, because city employees actually are cheaper than outside employees, I know I was an attorney charging $450 an hour. I'm expensive. I'd rather hire the best and brightest in that office, lower the cost, and free up those dollars for more police officers, better parks programs, reinstating after-school programs. So those are going to be two of the things I'm going to focus on.
Thank you, James. Matt, you're up.
James talks about where has the money gone, where's the money going. The city attorney's office has a responsibility to handle litigation that is instituted against the city. And this city attorney's office has consistently made decisions in regard to cases that are improper and have led to major verdicts against the taxpayers. The taxpayers end up paying these huge verdicts against the city. And I think we can increase the amount of dollars that are available to programs like schools, parks, the things that James was talking about, roads, if we can reduce the liability that the city has in terms of handling and managing litigation. And that comes down to making decisions about whether we should settle a case or whether we should take it to trial, whether it's the right thing to do, and also proactive legal advice to the city council and to the folks in the city government who need that advice in advance of something happening, instead of reacting after something has occurred and spending millions of dollars on verdicts that are rendered against the city. We can take a proactive approach and adjust how things are done to begin with in a way that avoids those costs. We can do that in a number of areas. I specifically also believe that, of course, medical cannabis is a big issue for the city. I think that's a big issue for the city, and I think Mr. Parkin has recognized that, as has Mr. Johnson. We need to effectively regulate that area and do it in a way that balances the needs of our seriously ill citizens with the health, safety, and welfare needs of the city. I don't think the city's done a good job of that. I think it's the city attorney's job to do that the right way, proactively, and in a way that will protect the city from large judgments, verdicts, and costs.
Thank you, Matt. Charlie?
Thank you. I believe the two most important issues that are facing our office in the coming 4 years is we have to continue to protect and serve our neighborhoods. And we have to do that with the resources that are available. We've had budget cuts, and our office has not been immune to those budget cuts. I think, but we do a very good job. The previous question in the prosecutor's forum was about code enforcement. Our office reviews about 2,800 police reports annually and works with the police department on those cases to evict drug dealers who are dealing out of apartments or homes where we have that broken window theory. We work with the prosecutor's office when city administrative citations don't work. We have to have that working relationship with the city prosecutor's office. We have to be able to address those issues as they arise. I think that's a very important issue. It has to be continually addressed. The other issue is to protect tax dollars. Obviously, our office is a law firm with one client. We have the client is the city of Long Beach. Our job is to provide legal advice to our council members who are deciding the policy and deciding where those tax dollars are spent. And so we have to provide them with the appropriate neutral information so that they're making an informed decision. It takes a very expensive law firm to represent the city, and we are that. We have to protect those dollars. We know when to settle cases. We know when to come to council. They are making those tough decisions, and they are difficult decisions, but we have to give them the information they need to make those difficult decisions. And we have to be able to tell them when we recommend we should settle a case and when we should try those cases. Certain cases have to be tried. And we have to be able to explain the risks and benefits associated with that and let them make those informed decisions. And we have to serve our clients. So we're serving the city staff, the city departments, all of the city to help them better use their resources. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Why don't we use up the chits, and we'll go first with James.
Well, I just want to note, you know, I'm going to be a different kind of city attorney. You know, I've been knocking on doors for months now, and a lot of people tell me, I didn't even know we had a city attorney. Who is a city attorney? And you know what? I don't blame folks. I think for too many years, it's been an inside the city hall position where people go home at 4:30. And I think, you know what? We need to go out and be approaching neighborhoods. I want to see a city attorney at neighborhood meetings, at the Los Rios Association. That needs to happen. People need to see the city attorney as explaining how we can improve their neighborhood quality of life. I'm going to be that kind of city attorney. That's the kind of candidate I'm being. So I just want you to know, if you want to meet me personally, my web address is www.johnson4cityattorney.com. You can find my phone number on the website. You can email me, and I'll tell you about events. So I want to meet you personally and talk about how we can move this city forward, not just as a candidate, but as your next city attorney.
Thank you, James. Matt, why don't you go next?
In terms of how the city attorney's office works, I'm going to be a different city attorney as well. I think it's important that the city attorney's office serve the citizens, all of the citizens of Long Beach, not just the neighborhood associations, but people who are in areas that don't vote as much, people who are hardworking individuals who have effectively been disenfranchised, vote in areas where there's only about a 4% turnout rate. Those people need to be effectively represented as well, because Long Beach is all of its citizens, not just the neighborhood associations where people own homes and have a lot of money. It's for everybody. And I think government needs to serve its citizens. I think that's been lost here in Long Beach. I've seen it in the cases that I've handled, how those cases are dealt with. I've seen it when the current city attorney's office fails to decide to want to work on settling cases or talking about settling cases. I've seen that firsthand. I've seen it go through and make decisions in handling cases like the Pack case, for instance, where it was given three opportunities to do something, and it did not do those things.
Thank you, Matt. Charlie?
Thank you. Under the charter, we are, the city attorney's office is the sole and exclusive legal advisor to the city. And the city is made up as a municipal corporation. We have a client. So we have a duty of loyalty to our client and to provide those services. So if the citizens or someone decides to sue the city, it's our office who's going to be defending and protecting the tax dollars. We're going to be defending and protecting the police officers, the Firefighters Association. We work with those groups. We need to understand what our role is. And I think my opponents think that they have a different idea of the office, but that's not consistent with what our charter is. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Okay, well, that completes the prepared questions portion, and we now will move on to the closing statements by each candidate. There is a two-minute limit on each closing statement. And the order is going to be Matt, Charlie, and James. So, Matt, please go first.
This campaign is about character and competence. On the one hand, you have an opportunity to effect real change in this city. On the other hand, you have two candidates that represent the status quo. Mr. Parkin and the Police Officers Association sent out materials that included clear misrepresentations, indicating that Mr. Parkin was being reelected. He's never been elected before. It had statements in it that Mr. Parkin had 19 years of experience prosecuting drug offenders and prostitutes. Mr. Parkin's office doesn't do that. In fact, the city charter prohibits the city attorney from doing those activities. It's not the city attorney that does those activities. It's Doug Halbert in the city prosecutor's office. But maybe that's what Mr. Parkin wants to run for. I think it's also disingenuous to urge voters to reelect you when you have been elected to a particular office. That's disingenuous. At another debate about 2 weeks ago, he was asked whether or not Bob Shannon, his predecessor, had appointed him or suggested his appointment into office to give him a leg up in the campaign. And Mr. Johnson will recall that Mr. Parkin was insistent that that was not the case, and indeed it was. And Mr. Shannon admitted that back in an article in June. And this city attorney's office right now has been run by a group of people, same group of people, for 50 years. Mr. Shannon relates to that in his memo to the city council in July. On the other hand, you have Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson has several years of experience, 2 years of experience, by his own admission, in terms of legal work. And I think we need more experience than that in our city attorney's office, running the second largest city in Los Angeles's legal department. I have that experience. We can have change, and we can make a difference for the citizens of Long Beach that work.
Thank you, Matt. And finally, James. Oh, I'm sorry. Charlie. Sorry about that. Charlie.
Thank you.
Wait. I'm sorry, people. I just did that wrong. Did I? It's Charlie's next. I'm sorry.
Thank you. This is a nonpartisan position, and that's pursuant to our California Constitution, Article 2, Section 6. It's not a political position. And I'm an attorney that's worked in this office, and this would be the culmination of my career, to be elected city attorney. I don't want to run for city council. I don't want to run for mayor. I want to be your next city attorney. It's a nuts and bolts job. It has an office of 67 employees, 20 attorneys, that provide and advise our client, the city of Long Beach. It takes experience and knowledge to do that. Mr. Pappas indicates he has experience and knowledge. He has 13 lawsuits currently against the city of Long Beach. Been successful in none of those. It's not what we need in the city of Long Beach. It is a position that I've worked 29 years, 19 years here in the city attorney's office, doing all of the different things our office does. He assumes that somehow the city attorney's office avoids elections. There's been an election every 4 years. He can go back and check the records. That hasn't been handed down person to person. That's not how the charter works. James will tell you that. He says he's worked on our charter. So it's a misrepresentation to say those things about this office. It's a good office. It's provided quality legal work. We have outstanding attorneys. We have outstanding staff. And that's why the office runs smoothly. maybe we're a little low profile. But on a council meeting, if the city attorney doesn't have to say a word and the city council's doing their job, that's a good meeting. So when the attorney's doing all the talking, we have other problems. So we need to be able to understand what our office does, and hopefully you will elect an attorney such as myself with the experience necessary to continue running that office. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. And James.
Well, I want to thank you, Bob, and thank everyone for coming, and even thank my candidates here for participating in a rigorous discussion. First of all, let me tell you one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you the truth of this campaign. I've been a member of the bar for 10 years. I've discussed my experience, several years working in a law firm, rewriting the city charter. I think working on the highest law of the city of Long Beach qualifies as legal experience. But let me talk to you about what this race is really about. Long Beach, it's time for you to elect your city attorney. We elect a city attorney for a simple reason. It's a critically important leadership position, and it's important in a democracy that the people select their leaders. That's why you elect a city attorney. So the question today is, who will provide the strong, independent leadership that we need in the next city attorney? Not just sit at a desk and be a bureaucrat, but help move the city forward. You know, I'm running for city attorney because I believe I've already shown that experience. I took Long Beach from pension abuses to pension reform. I took Long Beach from budget deficits over a decade to a budget surplus. One of the few cities in Southern California to have that. We stopped deferring maintenance, started reinvesting our streets right here in Los Cerritos. Locust Street, sidewalks, many other projects, tree trimming. As your next city attorney, I'm going to show the strong, independent leadership that we need to move this city forward, to make our city as safe as possible, protect the dollars, stop pension abuses, stop other giveaways, to make sure that you're served, that you're protected by the police department, the police are there, that the trees are trimmed, that services are actually being gotten for taxpayer dollars, not given away on these abuses. So once again, this is a leadership position. We need a strong leader. Vote for the one person who has elected experience, the one person who stood up to people and said, no, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to protect the public interest. I'd respectfully ask for your vote for me, James Johnson, for city attorney.